The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
See tonight, NBC Sports rivalry night. It's the Capitals and Rangers, and that clip, of course, last night, Winnipeg-Boston. That was pretty good. How are you, Pierre?
I'm good. I'm not as good as that Boston-Winnipeg game, though. That game was outrageous. It was great.
Well, if you're projecting ahead, how can you not be if you're a Habs fan and still a hockey fan? Of possible Stanley Cup matchups, huh? That would be pretty impressive.
It would be great, but I think that's a tough one to really bet on right now.
Oh, I'm not betting on anything. No, I'm not betting.
Okay. There's just too many other teams in the way, especially when you look in the West. Nashville is not going to be easy for anybody to play against. I still think that San Jose and Anaheim, if they can get in, they're going to be problematic to play against in a playoff series. And in the East, they still think Tampa is going to be a problem for some teams. I still think Toronto could be a problem for some teams. And that team I've been warning about for a while, Columbus, buckle up. They're not going to be a dream to play against either.
Moves it behind the net for Jenner. Jenner now finding the middle of the ice. Here's Vanek with a shot, and he scores! A tip of the cap to Thomas Vanek. He's just completed the hat trick. And the Blue Jackets lead 6-3.
They were down 3-0 Edmonton in that game. I don't know if they're ever going to lose again, Columbus. The question with Vanek, of course, we all wait for the playoffs to begin to see if he can keep this up. What do you think?
It's a different environment for him. He's not a go-to guy there. You know, they've got more high-profile type scorers, one of them being Cam Atkinson, who's really starting to heat up. Most of their offense is created from the back-end push with Werenski and Jones. And Nuti Vaara, who's really gone to another level, which is great news for them. And so, I mean, less pressure. So maybe he'll be able to handle that a little bit better. I still like the acquisitions, whether it was Letestu, whether it was Vanek, or whether it was Ian Cole, that Jarmo Kekäläinen and John Davidson made, Mitch. They did a really nice job solidifying their team for a playoff run.
So we started with Winnipeg and Laine scoring the shootout winner against the Bruins. And the question, and we just finished up with Pierre LeBrun on this a little bit. I'm interested to hear your take. Do you have faith that once the playoffs start that the Winnipeg Jets will be as strong in goal as Hellebuyck has been all season?
I don't know. And I'm not trying to skirt the question. Until I've seen a player do it, I really can't tell you in goal. I just don't know. I'm hoping he can, because I think it's a tremendous story. And I love what David Pastrnak, the Bruins forward, said after the game last night. He said that's a pretty rough place to play. And that's one of the things that's going to help Winnipeg, I think. Home ice and, you know, intimidating teams. Not so much through the physical play, even though they're a physical team, but it's the noise factor in that building. It's very intimidating. I've been out there a bunch, and it's a very intimidating building. The one thing that'll be interesting, we haven't talked about it yet, the Josh Morrissey hit on Grizzlick. I got to think he's going to get suspended for that. I don't know that, but I have to think the league's not going to have an appetite for that hit.
Pierre McGuire in Washington. We'll get to the Rangers, Caps, and, of course, the Habs in just a moment.
Petrangelo over to Shen. Into the middle to Tarasenko. Shoot! Score! Vladimir Tarasenko down the left side.
Oh, what, was Ric Flair making an appearance there? St. Louis wins again in overtime. Six straight.
I think that was Kelly Chase.
Six straight. Well, they had the same kind of hair at one point. Yeah. Six straight win. They're right now, they've moved into the final wild card spot.
Character. You know, I talked to you about it yesterday when you had Marty Brodeur on, and I guarantee you the one thing he would say is that team's got plenty of character, and that's what they have, and that's why they're winning a lot of these tight games. Getting Tarasenko back obviously helps him a ton. He got hurt versus the New York Rangers about 10 to 12 days ago. It was kind of an innocuous play, but he's back now, and that makes a gigantic difference for them. The leadership of Shen coming over from Philly has been huge. Petrangelo's, had he not been hurt just a little bit, I think he would have probably been one of the leading candidates for the Norris. So they've had a lot of really good things go on there, and they've overcome so many darn injuries, Mitch. They've rallied around one another. It's been fun to watch.
They kick after it, and it's San Jose coming away with it, but great pressure by Sobotka. He wins it. Sobotka on the backhand to Tarasenko. He scores! Bring out the Zamboni! The Blues have won six in a row.
All right. the tying goal and the winning goal in overtime for one of the great talents in the National Hockey League with Pierre Maguire in Washington on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. A reminder, Dave Jackson retiring tomorrow night, Pierre. How about before we pick it up with the actual hockey and team talk, some words about Dave?
A gentleman, a professional, very competent official, had an easy way about him dealing with players and coaches, was not a screamer, was not a yeller, but the players knew where they stood when Dave was on the ice. I've gotten to know Dave so well over time. Last year, obviously, was a tough year for him because of injury, but he's found a way to get back and finish this year strong, so I'm really happy for him. Tremendous career. More than anything else, I think when you have a professional that's been doing it a long time, you can either say, well, he got by just because he got by, or he got by because he had a great career. Dave Jackson had a great career.
Mitch.
All right, Pierre. So to get to the rest of the hockey talk, here's what I'm wondering about. I see Zdeno Chara signs a contract extension today with the Bruins.
One year only.
Yep, but Roberto Luongo also playing at a very high level. He's in Toronto tonight, and he was being asked about the Chara extension. Just how rare is it in today's NHL to see guys being impact players on their team in their late 30s, early 40s?
Well, no, it's definitely not something that's very familiar to a lot of teams in the league or a lot of players in the league, but these are unique guys. And what's the most amazing part about it, both of them would have still been New York Islanders had they not been traded away. You know, you think about it, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, Roberto was a fourth overall pick, if I remember correctly. Chara was a little bit later than that because he was a project coming out of Prince George in the Western Hockey League. But, you know, I remember like it was yesterday watching both those guys. I remember the 99 Memorial Cup like it was yesterday. I was calling with Dave Schreiber in Ottawa. The 67s won, but Roberto put on some shows in that Memorial Cup that were phenomenal playing for Acadie Bathurst. So, you know, you have so many good moments with players. And one of the things I've always liked about Roberto, he's found a way to be intense, Mitch Gallo, and still love the game. Like, he doesn't alienate people because of his intensity. Some guys do, he doesn't.
And, you know, the other thing that's funny about him is I remember dealing with him a little bit during his early days in Vancouver, and it's night and day to the Roberto Luongo you see now.
In terms of dealing with the media?
The whole package of being out there in the public.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%, but that's the maturity that a lot of guys never get to experience because their careers end pretty quick. His obviously hasn't. I think one of the things that obviously showed the type of man Roberto is after that terrible, tragic shooting down in Florida at the high school, you know, Roberto was over there and trying to, you know, make his voice be heard, and I thought he handled that phenomenally well.
And that is why some of us, I don't know how many people I speak for, when you look at the standings and realize Florida's been on the outside looking in all year, really, I want to see that team get in for that community. Because they were there with the Canadians in mid-December. You know, they were lower than the Habs in the standings in mid-December.
Yeah. They had a new coach, and the coach was trying to sell them on a system, and it took a little bit longer for them to adapt to the system that the coach wanted. That's not a foreign concept. That happens a lot. And then, you know, Barkov started to roll. Bukestad started to roll. Trocheck probably really had a solid season. Huberdeau started to get going. Matheson started to be a huge tower of power on the back end. So they started to get guys going right about the same time, and they got comfortable in the system. And that's why you have them pushing, you know, to get into the playoffs. I don't even think it's fair to compare the rosters on paper between Montreal and Florida. It's not even a fair fight.
Pierre LeBrun mentioned after talking to Dale Talon that they have signed the kid. Obviously, the Canadiens wanted Bjorkstrom from Florida, and he Pacioretty talks, and he's actually going to play, not tonight, but he will play down the stretch here.
He's one of the best players in college hockey. Last year, I talked about him. I was doing a Colorado game, and that's the game where I think I said to you the next day, I don't think I've ever seen a more toxic environment in pro hockey than what I witnessed in Colorado last year, right around that time. And it was actually St. Louis who was playing there. What I do remember is Denver and talking to Jimmy Montgomery and Noren Bjorkstrom and how good he was, and having watched Denver play, I thought he was ready to play in the NHL last year. And obviously he spent an extra year, and now he's really ready to play in the NHL, and he will be a very high-impact player, just like Troy Terry, just like Ryan Donato, just like Jordan Greenway. And these guys are ready to play. They're really, really talented kids.
So for teams in the playoff hunt, five or six games to go, they're battling for a division maybe, they're fighting for seeding, so of course they're pushing to win. However, are you also focusing on some things that you may deem to be critically important coming into the playoffs, whether it's habits in a particular situation, power play, or situational awareness? Do you shift your strategy in any way?
Well, you try to focus in on things that have been causing problems for your team. So let's say, for the sake of argument, your entries haven't been good on the power play. You spend a lot of time in practice working on it, and you talk about it in your pregame meetings, and hopefully you execute in the games. And if you don't, then you have to get back to work on it, because that's going to be an important part of, you know, playoff success or failure. Or let's say faceoffs aren't something that you've done extremely well with. You've got to be a good faceoff team if you're going to win in the playoffs, so you got to practice those. I mean, and you got to pay attention to those, and that's where the coach can really message properly on the bench. So I think that's a really valid point, Rod.
So just before we move to the Habs and a lot more with Pierre McGuire, again, Washington and the Rangers tonight on NBC Sports. You mentioned Zdeno Chara, who, by the way, Pierre said he will sign an extension before the season is out, as early as October, and Roberto Luongo. Does that bother you? Work with him? Does it bother Mike Milbury? Is that part of who he is, or is he confident and secure enough in life that he, you know, that's just move forward, don't look back? What do you think?
Oh, Mike's very comfortable with the decisions that he's made over time in his career. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that maybe people aren't privy to, whether ownership got involved or they had limited assets financially that they could utilize. I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't think it's appropriate for me to make public, but, you know, Mike was dealing not with the easiest deck of cards to play with there. One thing I tell you about Mike, he's very, very comfortable in his own skin, and he's not afraid to have strong opinion.
Pierre LeBrun in studio in the last hour on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Because time has passed and he wasn't dealt at the deadline, that, you know, maybe he wants to give this a 2.0 second effort here. But I feel like, you know, we're focusing so much on the 30-goal score, what we can get for a 30-goal score, and all this, all the hockey part of it. There's a human part of it too. And it just feels like at times like this is taking its run here.
On Max Pacioretty and how much he probably at this point, although there it's possible he could have a change of heart since he wasn't traded at the deadline, wanting to play elsewhere next season. Do you get a sense of when his name comes up talking to hockey people that there would be legitimate, strong interest in him even though he didn't have a good year?
Oh, absolutely. The problem is what the demand is of the Canadiens. I know for a fact of at least one team, and there were probably more, and they just weren't prepared to pay the price. It was, you know, a huge bounty to make a deal to get them. So, you know, I think that's part of it too. Is there an appetite for that player? Absolutely. You'd be hard-pressed to find a team that wouldn't want him. The problem is how realistic are the demands of the Canadiens? That's the issue.
I also think there's some intangibles in this conversation. At the end of the day, I feel like Max Pacioretty, who wears his heart in his sleeve and proudly wears a C and has tried to be the best captain he can for the Montreal Canadiens, I think it's taken a lot out of him. And I think it just would. I think the change of scenery is needed.
All right, and again, presumably any part of a deal, should it happen, would involve a centerman. Pierre, do you... Again, if you're not comfortable answering it, I understand, because I know sometimes people tell you things in confidence, but
yep.
Is it possible, because a lot of us are still trying to figure out, frankly, why Mark Bergeron is still the general manager of the Canadiens, and I know Jeff Molson briefly tried to explain himself, and there will be more at the end of the season, and I'm looking forward to that, but when is it possible that Molson... You know, a lot of people pointed to Tavares. You know, good for them. They're going to try. That's great. They're going to try. I don't expect it to happen, but they're going to try, and they should try. But beyond that, it's not sign John Tavares or we move on to another general manager. It's find a centerman or two, and if you don't, we are moving on to another general manager.
Oh, I don't know that. I couldn't even begin to speculate on that. Mark's got the job, and he's got the confidence of ownership, so I don't know that to be an asking price or a demand. From ownership to manager, I don't know that to be the truth at all.
But when you look at the team, and we've discussed it ad nauseum for years, and it's you know, going into 6 years, into 7 years next season if he's the general manager, and it hasn't been addressed, that's got to be a mandate, don't you think?
You would think, but I don't know. I know what I told them when I met with them, and I don't know what Mark told them. But clearly they liked what Mark said more than what I said. And one of the things I talked about was, dealing with the center ice position. So, again, I don't know what was discussed in his meetings with ownership there. I can tell you I know what I said, and I know that I felt strongly about the importance of upgrading the center ice position. But all I can tell you is Jeff Molson's a very loyal person, and he's completely loyal to Mark Bergevin. He's going to let Mark Bergevin try to steer this team in the right direction, and I have no problem with that. I think that's how it should be in the league. If you hire somebody, especially if you give them a contract extension, you should let them try to see their vision through, and if they can't, then you have to make a decision.
And everything. I think the stress level is high everywhere. And I listen to you guys. You guys are all stressed out too, right?
That's part of the conversation we had at Hurley's a couple weeks back that doesn't get replayed often enough. On
Who was that? That
was Jeff Molson.
Oh, it was? I couldn't even recognize his voice.
Yeah. It was a crowded room at Hurley's. Got with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. Dave Jackson in about 10 minutes. Gord Miller after 6. And Terrell Sutton of the Owls will sit down with us after 6:30.
One of the things we've discussed all year long is the slashing crackdown and how it's a little bit easier to maneuver for forwards around the crease area and between the face-off circles. And I was looking at the power play numbers, Pierre, and you've got 18 teams who are hitting a 20% plus on the power play. Last year we had 11. 2 years ago we had 8. Is that a direct correlation, you think, with the slashing crackdown, or is there something else that you see?
No, that's part of it. The other thing, you've got 6 or 7, maybe even 8 guys with 40 or more goals. So I think that's part of it, too. You get the elevated scoring. I talked about this on Ottawa Radio this morning. I didn't have the analytical evidence in terms of the numbers, but I thought one of the reasons why we've had so many guys at 40 or knocking on the door at 40 because of penalties and power play success, and obviously the slashing is a part of that. So you'd have to do the research on it. But I, just from being around as many games and watching, especially in January after my surgery, watching as many games, it looked like, power play and obviously opportunity on the power play was far more prevalent than in years past.
Man, we saw Backstrom and Kuznetsov. They didn't even need Ovechkin the other night against the Habs, with Kuznetsov returning to the lineup, and they're just rolling again. They've won 4 straight. Tonight, what are we going to see tonight in this NBC matchup?
It'll be interesting because, for Washington, I think they're just trying to play to get better. Rod made the good point. What are you looking for as a coach? And I think they're looking to just get better in a lot of different ways. For the Rangers, they're just going to play loose. They've got young guys, obviously, in the lineup. One of them, by the way, what a nice young man. I hope his family's listening. John Gilmore, what a nice young man out of Providence College, grew up on the West Island. He's a really good skater and has done some really good things here. He and Neil Pionk have been really good finds for the Rangers on the back end. So that's interesting. But I would say for the Rangers, you'll see a lot of youthful enthusiasm. But I just don't know if they're going to have enough to beat Washington. Washington's really starting to amp it up.
Pierre McGuire on site in the U.S. Capitol. Anything else going on down there of significance?
It was quiet today. I got called in, but I told them I had to pass because I had a game tonight.
Well, I hope you weren't called into the Russian embassy, because usually people are leaving that embassy.
No, but you know what one of the nicest embassies is in Washington? It's the Canadian embassy.
It's true.
Right on Pennsylvania Avenue, and it's not far from the Congress, and you go up. I've been up there a couple times. It's a beautiful, beautiful embassy. It really is.
How many Russians they throw out? 60?
Yes.
60.
60 Russians thrown out. Yeah, it's about
That was just in the United States.
That's
what
right.
About the other countries? Yeah. There are a bunch of other countries that toss some Russians out, too.
That's right. 25 countries, over 100 spies / diplomats.
How many dead Russian bodies are we going to see that aren't Putin supporters?
Yeah. There'll be a crackdown.
I think you need to do a talk radio show right from the Kremlin.
Oh, thanks.
I think it would be the most intriguing radio ever. Do just with KHL players.
team. And your first guest could be Mr. Putin, who's an avid hockey fan.
Yeah, I wouldn't last 2 seconds.
I think it'd be amazing. In fact, I think we should put it on closed circuit.
I'd be in the newsroom prepping. I wouldn't make it into the studio. My body would slowly melt into the floor.
I think the flight might get you before you even got to the newsroom. That's a long flight.
Say hi to Ovi for us.
I will. He'll get 50. Which will be good.
Talk to you tomorrow.
There
he is on site in Washington, D.C. Scary stuff. But it's he's feeling the heat too now, Putin, with all of this. Go ahead.
Well, he must be confused too. I mean, every time he talks to Trump on the phone, it's buddy-buddy. And thankfully, the administration at least is doing a few things right when it comes to this subject.
Is that enough politics for the day? Is 42 seconds of politics okay?
Wish I could do it more often. It's great to meet Rod. It's very emotional. I was very happy to meet Rod.
And tears.
After all these years of kind of flirting over the phone, now we finally met.
Holding hands for an hour.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
But don't leave Gallo out of the equation.
No, well, I've met him before. He's not that impressive. I mean, you know.